Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. We've got a full house today. If you're watching us on a video, you can see that.
A full house. We have a really interesting show, local show. We're going to try to do a little local color.
That's Michael Cosentino who's talking now.
That's right.
In case you haven't heard him on the air before.
We're live on Facebook. You can be watching Democratic Perspective anywhere in the world. You could be in Timbuktu and catch us on KAZM. It's streamed live. You can be watching us on Facebook and you can find out what color hat I'm wearing this week. And you can see how many times Steve says and so forth.
Okay. Klaus von Studerheim.
No, you're getting close.
Getting close. All right. Klaus, we've got a new innovation today, folks. So Klaus is going to tell you a little bit about it, which is that if you at any time want to comment on the show or you want to ask questions, you can send it in your request to this address that Klaus is going to give you, tell you a little bit about it.
Right. So if you have a comment or question, email it to comments, comments, for those who can't spell, at vvid.org. That's Victory, Idaho, David. Stands for Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. So comments at vvid.org. And at the end of the show, we'll read the most interesting comment or question and, if necessary, answer it.
Klaus signed us up for this, and I got a bill for $23.65.
Yeah, and you were all excited about it.
I was all over him over this. All right, so we want to introduce our guest today. Do you want to do it, Mike?
Sure. We got J.J. O'Brien. Now, I'm just going to say his name and what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about PFLAG. And lots of events, but we have Kathy Kinsella here to do the hard work.
Yes, you always pass it off.
Well, we have to be passing, swinging mics back and forth. So PFLAG's been around since, 1972. Tell us a little bit about I don't think many folks even have heard the name. So tell us what it is, how it got started, and the fact that we have a very strong chapter here in Sedona.
Yeah, and what does the acronym stand for?
Okay, yeah, PFLAG stands for Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. But since that time, it's really been expanded to include bisexual, transgender, and then people that are questioning their sexuality or their gender identity. So in 2014, PFLAG National said, we're no longer using the acronym. We are just known as PFLAG because it just stands for so many other things. So that's where we are now. Just some history. I'm going to take you back to 1972, April of 1972. And a lady by the name of Jean Manford was at home and got a phone call from a hospital where her son Morty was taken to after he was beaten and stomped and kicked because he was a gay activist, her son, and he was handing out literature, at a political rally, and people didn't like that, and so they beat him and they kicked him and they stomped on him, and the police really just kind of sat there and watched this whole thing happen. So she was extremely upset. She wrote a letter to the New York Post at that time, complaining about the police inaction while her son was being beaten. Then she also, in the ensuing months, went on radio and TV stations in several cities and told her story. Then fast forward to June 25th, 1972, which was the third anniversary of the Stonewall riots, and that was the New York Pride March. And so Jean Manford marched with her son Morty in that Pride March, to show her support for him. And she held up a sign and people were cheering her along the route. And many of Morty's gay and lesbian friends would come up to her during that parade, not really a parade, a march, and they would just hug her and kiss her and thank her, and they were crying, and they would say, could you talk to our parents? Because we're not out of the closet. We are too afraid. We think we'll be rejected or kicked out of our homes. Would you please talk to our parents? So she went back home and talked to her husband about the need that's out there for parents trying to get a grip on, you know, little Billy comes out as gay or Jenny comes out as trans or whatever. And so they worked over the next several months and they decided to form an organization, PFLAG, to help support parents and families navigate those issues. And so on March 11th, 1973, almost 47 years ago, was the first PFLAG meeting in New York City, and it was attended by 20 parents. And since that time, PFLAG has grown to over 200,000 members and supporters throughout the country, with 400 local affiliates throughout the country. And PFLAG Sedona Verde Valley, our organization, is one of those local affiliates, and we were established in July of 2011. Our founder, Susan Hughes, is also the mother of a gay son. And so Susan just, you know, wanted to support her son as well as other parents in Sedona and the Verde Valley, so established the organization. And she's kind of our guru. She is definitely my mentor. She recently moved to Florida with her husband to be nearer her son, but she still is involved in our local PFLAG organization from afar. And the primary mission of PFLAG is to provide support, education, and advocacy on behalf of the LGBTQ community, their parents, families, friends, and allies.
I want to take a step back for a second, yeah. JJ, and say how important it is. I mean, in any time, but in these times, that to have an organization that's dedicated to the support solves or helps with so many issues as people are growing up. Especially, you mentioned Stonewall when gay people in New York said enough. You know, we're getting it from every side and it's illegal and it's unfair and all these things. And so they said enough. Someday, we're not going to talk about Stonewall necessarily on this show, but go research it. The Matthew Shepard incident. Again, we're talking about a stomping of a gay individual and with an atrocity that ended in a way that certainly got a lot of attention to this kind of thing.
So Klaus? You have an active chapter in Sedona. Is
yes.
it fairly large? You, do you guys meet regularly?
Yeah, I'll get into that real quickly.
Sure.
We meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. at the Sedona Public Library. And everybody's welcome to attend. You don't have to be a member to attend. Our meetings are free. They're strictly confidential. Whatever is said and in our meetings is confidential. So we want to provide a safe space. So Sedona Public Library, 6:30 on the second Tuesday of every month. Our meetings are 2 hours long. The first hour is typically a speaker that is typically LGBTQ related, but not always. And then the second half of our meetings, we implemented this about 2 years ago, and whoever wants to stay can get in a support group circle, and we provide pretty much therapy. We just let people. It's facilitated by a woman who is working on her master's degree in social work, and we just let people talk, just share, you know, trying to navigate the issues that they're navigating and the challenges.
It's really, this is Kathy, it's really interesting the kind of topics that we do discuss in those meetings. We just had a woman who was speaking about her personal experience dealing with her trans daughter came out to her, and she was speaking all about how that impacted her family, their family journey in trying to make sure the rest of the family accepted, you know, this the daughter, and what those struggles were, and her personal journey in thinking that she was an accepting person, but learning how much more there was to know and how to really be supportive. So that was fascinating. We just had that. We have coming up a local author, Susan Henkels, What If There's Nothing Wrong With You, which I think is going to be a fascinating topic. We're going to have things like talking about living wills, because sometimes healthcare, end-of-life decisions, things like that are particularly challenging in the LGBTQ community, and we want to give practical ways to navigate through where these challenges are. We've, of course, got our scholarship awards that are going to be coming up as well that we're going to award in our meeting in May. I do want to talk about the scholarships. I think it's a really important way that our local chapter gives back. We raise money and have a couple of private donors who are very generous that allows us to put forth scholarships for either LGBTQ identified or ally identified youth meaning up to 35 years old, that can qualify for scholarships of up to $500 for whether it's a traditional college or an untraditional setting, secondary training, as long as that's what it is and you're going to be enrolled, you could qualify for up to $500 to be used for lodging, books, fees, the tuition, whatever it is. So it's a way that we try to give back to the community while also letting it be known that we are part of your community and foster those relationships.
I think that's really important. My story is that back when I started college and I was still a teenager, we had a political club, a liberal political club in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Very conservative area and stuff. And one day one of our members came to me. He said, "I can't come to meetings anymore." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "They caught me in a bar." And I thought, is he underage? Because he was older than I was, you know. Is he underage? And it took a while for me to understand that he was gay. He said to me, "They've got me. They can tell my parents. They can tell my employer. I'll be fired. My parents will be outraged. They've got me. If they tell me to inform on the group, I'm going to have to inform on the group. So and rather than do that, I have to drop out." And it was that level of fear and persecution when I was young. And there was nothing you could do about it. I mean, I could argue, please come. Where you're welcome. We don't care. And but it didn't matter because he was –
yeah.
I could basically really do him in, and they could go to his parents, and parents didn't know in those days. And
well, the outing would have cost him way more than he'd be willing to pay.
Yeah.
That's not something that only exists in the past. That still exists today. And a lot of it depends on maybe where you live in the United States, but it's important to know that there is no federal non-discrimination law. I just had this conversation with somebody the other day who was really under the impression that since marriage equality has passed, that meant that equality had passed. But you can go get married tomorrow to your same gender partner, same-sex marriage, and then walk into work and be fired because it is not a protected class in our civil rights laws. So you can be refused services, you can be refused public accommodation, you could be fired from your job, you could lose your housing, you could be denied credit, all of this just for being identified as LGBTQ.
And about, this is JJ, about half the states in the country do have a non-discrimination law. Arizona does not. And that is a bill that's going through the legislature right now to try to have a statewide non-discrimination law in the areas of employment, housing, and public accommodation. Now, there are six cities in Arizona that have adopted non-discrimination laws or human rights ordinances, and those are Phoenix, Tucson, Tempe, Flagstaff, Sedona, and Winslow. But they do provide limited protection only within their city boundaries. So every other place outside of those cities, there's no protection whatsoever. You could be, your landlord, may find out you're transgender and decide not to renew your lease. It's perfectly acceptable in this state.
Tell us what PFLAG stands for again.
Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, but then we've added bisexual, transgender, and questioning. So PFLAG just is PFLAG now.
Right.
So this discrimination that you're talking about, except for those six cities, I mean, how much of that actually happens? Have people not got used, or begun used to the fact that, that different sexualities are just regular people? I mean, is there still really active discrimination?
Actually, there was a case, and I don't know all the details of this case, but it was challenging Phoenix's non-discrimination law. And it went to a same-sex couple came into a cake shop, wanted the owners to bake a cake for their wedding, and the owners refused because they, on religious basis, they didn't want to do it. And so that law went to, or that case went to the Arizona Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court actually struck down that section of the Phoenix non-discrimination ordinance. And so I'm not sure where that's headed, if that's headed to the U.S. Supreme Court eventually, but so it does happen, you know. Now in Sedona, I've never had a problem being out and about. I've never, I think there's been maybe two questions about the human rights ordinance in Sedona since it was adopted about 4 or 5 years ago. I think the city did receive a couple of complaints, but those were resolved quickly. And they have a process to resolve those complaints. So Sedona, I feel, is a kind of a little bastion of openness and acceptance here. But yeah, other communities are not.
There was controversy when the ordinance was put in place.
Absolutely.
And I, to say this is, some of the religious conservative people, if I remember, came and testified against it.
Yes, I was in the audience testifying on behalf
Christians
of PFLAG.
Testifying against tolerance.
Well, Sedona, Jerome, certain bars in Old Town Cottonwood are, I think, are bastions of safety. Other than that, Kathy's right. It hasn't changed all that much.
And it's not just about, I mean, it's very much about somebody being, you know, threatened and physically accosted, but also it's just about the discrimination that's out there in the removal of rights. So here we are, a month and a half into this year, correct? And over 226 to be specific, bills throughout the nation that would have been introduced in state legislatures that would strip people of rights for the LGBTQ community that had been put in place over the years. Things like last month, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed a bill into law that would allow adoption agencies to deny services to LGBTQ couples. These bills often originate from a couple of advocacy groups on that side that shop them around to different states, yeah. Places like Alliance Defending Freedom and the Heritage Foundation. And they look for legislators that are friendly that they can put these bills in.
Yeah. I one of those groups used to, back in my Jeep driving days, they have so much money, Kathy, that mm-hmm. they put up students and basically gave them a scholarship to study a law students all summer in Phoenix. They bussed them up to Sedona, gave them Jeep tours and then a fancy restaurant dinner, and then they took them back and then they placed them among all kinds of conservative congressmen and stuff. So what struck me is that liberals had no counteracting thing. There was no organization with that kind of money that could provide it. And also the cleverness of taking these interns, ideologically training them in right-wing thinking, and then placing them with – it started with the Bush administration at least, and maybe before.
And just to follow up on that, on the non-discrimination bill that's going through the legislature right now, it's actually a bipartisan bill.
I saw that.
Yeah, Kate Brophy McGee is the Republican senator who's sponsoring it, and then Democratic Representative Daniel Hernandez is also sponsoring it. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. It is a Republican-controlled legislature, and so not sure where this is going to go, but maybe so.
What does the bill provide?
It provides a law of protections for LGBTQ people in the areas of employment, housing, and public accommodation.
So who should our listeners contact if they want to support the bill?
Your state legislature.
Yes. Whoever
your local state legislator is.
Yeah,
let's talk about our local state legislator. In our district here, which is Legislative District 6, covering this listening area, Sylvia Allen last month proposed a bill that would remove the word homosexuality from all public school teaching materials. It would prevent any student below the age of 12 from receiving any form of age-appropriate sex education. Now, she backed off when there was a public outcry, and thankfully there was a public outcry, but she did make a statement, don't count it out, you know, that she would come back with something, and she is. She just held a rally down in Phoenix on the steps of the Capitol, really inflaming people against, you know, LGBTQ issues.
Well, that's it. I think it's really important, A, what you said, Kathy Kinsella, that public outcry still matters. It still matters. If you hear something, if you hear of something, and you think it's wrong, or you think it's right, get on the phone, get on your computer, send a message. The
other thing is vote, Mike. Get out and be sure you vote for candidates who are going to support rights for everybody.
And one other thing, Sylvia Allen is feeling the heat of Felicia French, our Democratic candidate. And so she's adopting, I believe, the Trump method of fear and division, and because it's worked so well and is working well. So she's this is a desperate move. She's not going to back off of this because it's wrong.
I think you may be right. She needs a
she found
she needs
something
an anti-gay scare to try to get her turn out her people.
There you go.
Yeah. Her voters. That's too bad.
On the local front, right, JJ, we have some good news, like down in Mingus High School.
Oh, that's right. Our president, Patty Delp, and myself, I'm the vice president of PFLAG, Sedona Verde Valley. We met with the Mingus High School Gay Straight Alliance, the GSA. And they have a pretty strong GSA down there. We met with them last week, about 20 students. And, man, are they sharp. And so we encourage them to apply for the scholarships, because we have four of those available, I think. Isn't it four this year? Four available, $400-$500 scholarships available. And then we also asked them, what would you like from us? You know, what would help you? You know, and just have an open question. And they wanted to have, you know, more events that were geared towards LGBTQ youth. They talked about a bowling night at the casino, and that could be a lot of fun. You know, I'll chaperone that. That'd be a blast to go bowling, you know.
Yeah, sounds cool.
You know, and just so they can, you know, be with like-minded, you know, kids. And so we've also, you know, outreached over the last year to Red Rock High School as well. And they do not have an established GSA. They did a couple years ago, but it kind of fell by the wayside.
I was really proud of Mingus doing that Gay Straight Alliance. Of all the things, and it was their idea, kids, I mean. And this is years ago, that what could they do to help? You know, let's put the two the supposedly camps together in the club and say, this is the heart of the problem.
You know, one thing I forgot, too, when we met with the GSA and Mingus is that the teacher that was in charge of it mentioned to us that Mingus High School administration has recently adopted a non-discrimination rule for the high school for teachers.
Good.
So
good.
They are protected at Mingus High School, and that's pretty recent.
About the scholarships, what do you have to do to get a scholarship? How many applicants do you get, and do you have to write an essay, or what's the process?
Well, we give preference to first-time applicants, but somebody is eligible for up to two awards to get an award twice from PFLAG. All of the details are on our website, which is pflagsedona.org. So that's pflagsedona.org. And the information is on there. There's an application process, and you do need recommendations and referrals. Really what we're looking for are outstanding LGBTQ students and allies that have a demonstrated commitment to doing something to help the LGBTQ community. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program. Again, as JJ said, we have four $500 awards to give. And I want to say this is in memory of Jackie Gringa Richardson, who was the mother of the founder of our local PFLAG organization. So as a grandmother of a gay grandson, somebody from a different, very different generation, who became one of the most supportive advocates for her grandson and for what she deemed as his community that you could ever imagine. Jackie was our official greeter for our PFLAG meetings and a person that I'm so very lucky that I had the opportunity to know.
And they for college or for secondary school?
Can be used for college, for any secondary school, professional training program, massage therapy school, culinary institutes, anything that fits a
post-secondary
education.
Yeah. Okay. Teach us, former teachers. You got to get the language right.
Yeah.
To avoid talking about anything important, One thing I miss is the to align with my former Minga students. I miss what happened to Pride and what happened to the parties. I mean, it used to, well, I remember the days when Flagstaff and Cottonwood and maybe Sedona and Cottonwood, sometimes Flag, you'd have kind of this roving Pride thing that would last two or three days, and there'd be parties in every town. What happened?
I attended the Pride celebration in Flagstaff this past year, and boy, was it a blast. There was such great music.
So it's so good where they are, they don't need to expand, I guess.
Well, yes, Pride Sedona Verde Valley, or Sedona Verde Valley Pride, about, you know, they used to put on the annual festival.
We brought them in and had them talk about their festival.
Those were a blast. They were here in Sedona. They were also down in Cottonwood. And they were great. But I remember the last year they did it, because we had a table there with PFLAG, we had a table. An incredible storm hit that day and wiped it out. And they lost a lot of money in that, trying to put that on. And they've really, since that time, you know, they really haven't ever recovered. And that was probably 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago.
Easily. Yeah, we used to have them on every year.
Yeah, they're still they're still an organization, but.
Yeah, Pride does meet weekly. They do various social events. And the best way, if you're interested in information about Pride, is to go on Facebook. Most of the posting for their information is on a Facebook page. So it's Sedona Pride, I believe.
Yeah.
So if you just go on there. But there's also another organization in the local community, which is Unify, in which PFLAG has been partnering a lot on doing educational series, such as a movie series that we did at the Mary Fisher Theater with the help of Patrick Schweiss and the Sedona International Film Festival, which was really educational. What did we do? Three movies?
Four
movies on various topics related to LGBT community. We had discussion groups either before or after, a social reception. It's a wonderful partnership. I know that Unify is going to be putting on a health summit in a few months as well, that you guys might want to think about having them on to talk about that. And it's health through the ages, not just about health as we get older, but health, what does that mean in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, 70s, 80s?
And that summit, Unify Sedona, will put that on, I believe it's September 11th and 12th. And 11th will be in an evening with a speaker, and then 12th will be the primary all-day health and aging summit.
Yeah, the Democrats at Red Rocks, it was a little controversial, a little discussion, but we actually had a table down at the Pride events down in Cottonwood, and just a voter registration table. No, we're not really that political.
One of the things that fascinated me and when I looked at your website is that you're not just U.S. but international in places like China and lots of other countries. How did that happen and how active are those chapters and are you in touch with them or are they operating on their own?
Boy, this is JJ. I'm not real sure, to be quite honest with you, how active chapters are outside of the United States, and we don't... PFLAG National, I'm sure, does. You know, they're based out of Washington, D.C. But our local chapter, we do not. You know, we coordinate with other chapters primarily in the state of Arizona.
Well, certainly makes sense. So PFLAG's been around for a long time, and you have regular meetings, and you have a pretty good-sized membership. What would you like to see happen? I mean, Sedona is I think, probably pretty gay-friendly city, and so is Jerome and so forth. What, politically, do you have an agenda, or do you have ideas, or you just, what's PFLAG trying to do besides basically support people who have serious problems with maybe their parents don't disapprove of them, or they work for an employer who might disapprove of them, or...
Well, our three-pronged mission is support, education, and advocacy. So we do advocate for, you know, civil rights and equal rights, not special rights, for the LGBT community. We've done that at the city of Sedona when they were proposing the civil union ordinance. That was before same-sex marriage was allowed by the Supreme Court. We did it with the human rights ordinance at the city of Sedona, and we write letters to our congressmen, senators, our state legislators. We'll be doing the same thing. I'm going to be getting this out in the next couple of days to our mailing list, which is about 260 folks, to send letters to their LD6 legislators and senator about the non-discrimination proposal, and then the other one that is proposed by Republican Nancy Bartow that really represents a de facto ban on female transgender athletes in public schools throughout the state. And that's from grade school, high school, community college, and universities. So that's a proposal coming forward. So we definitely do. We can't, you know, we can't, as a nonprofit, we cannot support specific candidates or oppose, but we can, we certainly can talk about issues and become advocates and become active that way.
Kathy?
One of the things that we also offer is we will go in to, let's say there is a business establishment or an organization that wants some sensitivity training. We absolutely will go in and do that, provide that sensitivity training. In our meetings, one of the education components is that we try to make sure that we do a segment every month about in the news. Things that are happening internationally, nationally, locally, as well as things that are happening in pop culture to know, get sort of take the pulse of where things stand with people's impression of the LGBT.
Yeah, that's
community.
Real important because a lot of especially organizations, a lot of individual people don't know how. They say, okay, you know, I see what's wrong here. I see something's wrong. I'm not stupid, but I don't know how. And so that education piece goes a long way. I do want to mention our political answer here because this is a Democratic perspective. Mm-hmm. Walt Blackman, Bob Thorpe, Sylvia Allen are the LD6 representative. They are currently, of course, we intend to replace them with Democrats that certainly are much more educated on this issue that we're talking about this morning and certainly much friendlier toward it. But in the meantime, if you want to do something now as talking about advocacy, Walt Blackman, Bob Thorpe, Sylvia Allen are the names of your representatives in the state. We have some.
You want us to vote for them, Michael?
Some good things moving. I understand. No, but they're the people to yell at. We have some good things moving through the Arizona. A good thing moving through the Arizona legislature. We have bad things moving through the Arizona legislature. Point is involvement, whether they are Republican or Democrat. And that's always been the position, by the way, of your little teasing aside. Since I said their name twice, it's always been the position of Democratic perspective is involvement is the most important thing.
So do you have a sense?
I'm sorry, JJ had a thing he wanted
sure.
to get in.
Well, just to piggyback on what Kathy was saying about going out to businesses, we did have a really great success story about 3 years ago with Cliff Castle Casino. And they just needed to be educated about transgender needs and bathroom usage. And so there were some problems there. At Cliff Castle. And so I contacted them as at that time I was president of PFLAG and they were just so gracious. They just needed to be educated. They said, that is not who we are, you know, as an organization. And so I said, would you be open to some training? And they took me up on it. And three of us did a transgender 101 training seminar to about 60 of their supervisory management and security staff. And I got to hand it to them. They were awesome. And now things have completely changed over there since that was done in April of 2017.
And any organization that would like for a program to have information on what are the issues in the LGBTQ community, and specifically since our trans brothers and sisters are so under attack at the moment, how to deal with issues around the right wording usage, the right bathroom sensitivity issues, things like that, we will come in and offer that. Again, in tandem, JJ did a great program for the Sedona Unitarian Universalist Fellowship with somebody from Unify who came in and did a whole trans 101 training. A lot of people have trans members of their family. A lot of this is new to them. This hasn't taught to you in school. This hasn't been in popular culture for a long time in terms of how to navigate these waters. This is a place where we could be really useful. If an organization that you have is interested in a workshop on how to become sensitive on these issues, please let us know. PFLAGSedona.org.
Can I say no organization is too small to?
That is correct.
Okay, good. Because
nor too big.
Or too big. Good. Well, you're right. Usually around here we don't have to worry about that. But I really want to underscore that in so many ways, because what I hear is that they don't, you know what to do. They see members of their organization that they know maybe are behaving, but they really have no idea. I don't want to say no idea, but they need some help.
And again, I think there really is a misunderstanding out there, since, again, marriage equality, which is great, we're happy for. My wife and I are very happy to be finally legally recognized. Mm. But there are so many ways in which our community is under attack. In Texas, the attorney general there is not going to defend a state agency that was charged with disciplining judges in a lawsuit that was filed by a justice of the peace who was warned over her refusal to marry same-sex couples. So you've got an attorney general for a state who is not going to stand up for the law, and for a discriminated group of people. In South Dakota, there's a bill coming forward that will erase LGBTQ people from public life. It basically would outlaw marriage equality in that state, or attempt to. It's the law of the land now, but it will lead to lawsuits. It'll lead to public discourse and probably divisiveness. But they want to permanently legalize gay conversion therapy. Now, on the other hand, we've got states like Utah, our neighbor, which just banned conversion therapy.
All right, talk a little bit about what conversion therapy is and why it's controversial.
So conversion therapy is done, and there are various degrees of it. In Utah, you know, one of the items was that they were worried that if people wanted to speak to their pastor, who might counsel, you know, to say that you need to work toward defeating this part of your authentic life and adopt the heterosexual lifestyle. They were worried about that. That was negotiated, that somebody talking to their pastor, which is of their own free choice, you know, can have that conversation. But states like New York have banned conversion therapy, which are programs in which, especially for youth, you will send people in. Did you ever see the movie, what was the name of that movie, where I'm not going to remember it, but it's about negative connotation, negative training for association, so that you will try to train yourself out of being gay. So, in other words,
does it work?
No, it does not
think
work.
It would work.
What it does it creates a lot of unhappiness. What it does is it increases suicide attempts and rates within the LGBT community. That's what it succeeds at.
So it just teaches you that you're wrong.
Teaches you that
you should make
yourself
right.
Your authentic self is wrong, unacceptable, unloved, and unworthy. That is the basis of conversion therapy treatment.
That's the alternative to accepting the fact that people have a different sexuality.
That's right.
Different values and different lifestyle. The alternative is to try to force everybody into the same mold, right? And I don't think that's ever worked. I mean, we see it in religions where there's forced conversions from one religion to another, and many religions have indulged in this. And we see it in discrimination in religion and in politics and everything. And then when we come to gender issues, we have the same issues, JJ.
Let's do the. Go ahead, JJ.
No, it's sexual orientation and gender identity is you know, both of those issues.
We want to, like I said, underscore PFLAG, this very important organization, this important support organization, this important in the lives of so many people. Because the climate right now, coming from the top, is, as Kathy alluded to, not a friendly environment. So
not so good.
We're going to give the information, everything you got, because then we're going to got to do some announcements, and then if you have time, we'll come back to it.
Okay, I just want to talk about just the contact information for
sure.
Us, just to make sure. There's three ways to get us. Our website, pflagsedona.org, as Kathy mentioned. You can get us on Facebook at pflagsedona Verde Valley. And then also we have a Gmail email account, pflagsedona@gmail.com. You can get us there. You can also leave a voicemail. We have a voicemail system through our Gmail account, and we do get messages from parents at times, you know, on that voicemail or emails that are really in need of resources and assistance and support from us, and we will get back to you immediately if you contact us that way.
One of the things we want to mention is the Democratic the Yavapai Democratic Party meeting Cottonwood tomorrow in Cottonwood at the Red Rooster Cafe, 901 North Main Street. We have all types and all kinds, and everyone comes. It's a big tent kind of thing. So please, 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 tomorrow at 4 o'clock, if you want to have a little snack, they stay open for us a little late till 4:30. So, but if you want to eat, get there before 4:30. The meeting actually starts at 5. We have a speaker, Frankie Reamer, is going to talk about climate change, climate change, climate change. It's an amazing thing hanging over our heads. But we're going to talk a little more about climate change and other business items at the Cottonwood Yavapai Democratic meeting at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And Kathy's got some.
Well, and on the door breakfast, Democrats of the Red Rocks breakfast is coming up Thursday morning, and going to be have Judge Charlie Schutzen speaking about the importance of an independent judiciary.
We reviewed his book here. We had Charles on the show. We're talking February 20th at 8 a.m. Right.
That's right.
Right down the street at Old Sedona Bar and Grill. Great breakfasts, well attended. If you want to meet a fairly large group, and both of these places, by the way, you'll be surprised at how many fellow like-minded
originally,
people.
Originally, Mike, that was sort of the purpose of the breakfast, so that people would find out there were a whole lot of other Democrats around. That even when you do canvassing, down in Camp Verde, people don't know there are any Democrats in their neighborhood. Well, there's six Democrats in this next two block area.
Yeah, I was going to say there's six Democrats.
I think they're the only ones
on your block. If there's a sentence I've heard the most in the last my politically active years, it's been, I didn't know there were any Democrats around here. But I had lots of them, and there's lots of Democratic supporters. I want to mention corner democracy. One of the things we're getting is the importance and authoritarian administrations demonstrations matter. The three or four or five people that have been turning out for corner democracy right here in Sedona could use 50 or 60, I think.
The Trumpists are setting up a big thing for when does the film festival start?
The 22nd of February.
All right. They're building up a big demonstration on the day before the film festival start, because the film festival represents all those left-wing, you know, and bad people in Hollywood having a party. So they're trying to organize a massive demonstration, and I've forgotten the exact location, but it's over in Uptown, I think. Go ahead.
Just forgot about this, but on Saturday, March 14th, is the 50th annual Sedona St. Patrick's Day Parade, and PFLAG marches in that parade every year. Last year, we were voted the most enthusiastic group in that parade. And we would love to have as many people gather with us. Parade starts at 10:30, March 14th. Meet at the Sedona Historical Museum between 9:30 and 10. And please come out and join us. Just look for the rainbow flags and you'll find us.
There you go. Door still marches in St. Patrick's Day. So you've got your choice. Or you can go back and forth between the two organizations and march with both of them at the same time.
As well as some of the candidates that Mike was talking about earlier will have independent contingents in the parade too. So if you want to come out and show your support for flipping the legislature, or where your support is on the local Sedona City Council races as well, you could come out and be a part of that. There's so much going on in that St. Patrick's Day parade. It's the biggest parade that Sedona has, and it is so much fun.
Yes, I've done it many, many times. I want to mention to our listeners, we had a canvass last weekend. We had Swing Left came to town. We had help from the big city. And if you were contacted by a swing left group or one of their a lot of locals, by the way, we showed up in numbers, Kathy.
I think the best thing, if you are interested in going out and knocking door on doors to actually meet your neighbors and promote candidates and issues and ideas, the best thing to do is contact Democrats of the Red Rocks,
right,
which is organizing and working with, yep, swing left and ADLCC and all those groups. But we could get you out there. We'll get you active. We'll get you.
And you get to meet interesting political people from other places. You,
yes,
know,
you
there, there are interesting people.
There are other places.
There are other places. And that's, go ahead.
So I'm just going to say, PFLAG, give us your contact information, for we're running out of time.
Website PFLAGSedona.org. PFLAG Sedona Verde Valley is our Facebook page, and PFLAGSedona@gmail.com.
And don't forget our VVID.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. We have a web page where this show will be archived.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.